Big refund, big project, big savings at Menards. Turn your tax refund into your next big project. That patio you've been dreaming of is more affordable than you think when you do it yourself. Get free estimates fast using our landscaping design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on the largest selection of concrete landscaping blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Hi, babe.
Hello. How are you?
You caught me on a weird day.
Wow, that's such a nice song. Who sings it? Not me.
This is the second start. I sing it, and we both had a weird Monday. I had weird dreams.
Mm.
You have been kind of feeling weird?
Itchy.
Yeah, itchy.
I'm itchy.
I bet you are.
But I'm fine.
But not in weird places, like in normal places.
My head.
Yeah, let's be specific.
Top of my head. Because I'm trying to grow my hair back
and
putting minoxidil on my head, and it's itchy as fuck. And it's transferring to my ears and my cheeks.
Oh, baby, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So when you finish with this journey, I'll get you a cute little lace front.
That's so sweet of you. Thank you.
No worries. So I can't grasp it.
You can't grasp it?
I can't. There's reasons I don't want to talk about.
Is it something to do with being a short little man? Chunder?
That's a good one.
What is it?
First of all, there's an exclamation point, so villains! You have to say it like that.
Villains. I feel like every good villain wears sunglasses. But I fucked it up with my hair.
No, you know what every villain does have?
Mm.
Pointy sunglasses. Like, have you noticed?
Like mine?
Yeah. Like cartoon.
You're welcome.
Cartoon villains are always really pointy. Ursula was the first rounded villain. So you're giving
like
villain.
Like Cruella DeVille.
Yeah, so pointy and skinny. Pointy. That bitch needs to eat.
Are you talking about me or Cruella?
Cruella.
Thank you.
Villains. I don't know. Do you have any villains in your life?
In my personal life?
Yeah.
Villains? No. Do you have any villains in your life?
I think I do have some villains in my life.
Oh my God. Spell.
I think I have people that are nice to my face, but plotting against me behind my back.
Wait, you genuinely believe like there is somebody right now who's like sat somewhere and they're like, Raven Simone.
I mean, yes, just that though. Not even hexing me, just saying Raven Simone. That's all they have to do.
Raven Simone, I declare that you will never. Like that type
of
shit?
Yeah, like that type of shit. I feel like there's someone. No, babes. Someone who's nice to my face, but then behind closed doors, talks about me, doesn't wish for my success. I don't really believe in magic like you're saying, so I'm sure there have been hexes and shit from exes. But
hexes from exes?
Yeah.
Like a bruja?
I've definitely had an ex from an ex.
A hex from an ex?
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's a villain. You don't feel like you have any villains in your life?
No.
I think you had a villain when you were younger.
Who?
Someone who was your friend, but made fun of you, talked about you, always made you feel uncomfortable, kind of a bully.
Then I feel like everyone is a villain. Because I feel like, listen, I believe that like...
Yeah, I'm a listen.
What I believe is that people definitely get off the phone with me and then talk shit. Like, I don't doubt that for 2 seconds.
That's
and
a mini villain.
But I don't think those are villains. I think that villains are, like, true bad guys. And I don't think I know those true bad guys. And people that are talking shit about me, I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, half the fucking internet is a villain.
Yes. I don't think people talking shit about you is villain title worthy. But I do think someone who's a friend to your face and then bullies you and says things about you and makes you feel uncomfortable about yourself and not wishing the best for you, all of those things, not just one or two of those things, all of those things put together creates a villain, because villains don't have to be, you know, Cruella DeVille or Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson?
He's a villain. Not Marilyn Manson, sorry. Charles Manson. Marilyn Manson did not kill anyone.
But you know what's hilarious? That Marilyn Manson is a villain to Evan Rachel Wood.
Well, see, that's a villain. Somebody that smiles in your face for a while and then starts being
molests
interesting.
You in the back. That's what that is.
That's common knowledge?
Yes.
Then that is
what it is. You talked about it on The View.
I wasn't there.
I know.
So I don't know.
She talked all about it.
So I see you have questions in regards to the villain world. Let's talk about it.
On my card. What makes a villain hot?
Badassness is attractive because of
human... You were so thrown by that question.
I was. I'm like, whoa. Badassness / villainism can be attractive because we know that they would fight for our security in the wild. We always are attracted to the animalistic side of the human nature. If you're pretty, you know that you'll create pretty babies. If you are a fighter, you know that that person will protect you. And I think that villains are very, I got this, don't worry, I'll take care of it, and I'm going to scheme to make it happen, and that can be attractive. What do you think?
Well, when it comes to villains like Joe from You and Dexter, I think that people physically just find like that man attractive.
So casting.
And then he's brooding and dark and it's just crazy. But, you know, when I think of villains, like movie or TV villains, the people that come to mind in my head right away are like Joaquin Phoenix, Christian Bale, Colin Farrell.
Your roommate?
Yeah. Yeah. My roommate. Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where my head goes instantly. And those are all like attractive people.
Well.
And I think that that's what it is. And then when they play attractive characters. Villains also usually give off an I don't give a fuck energy. They're powerful.
They're confident.
They are confident. And then they like know for a fact that they will fuck you up. And that's also, attractive. I think, attractive to people.
Yeah. Confidence alluring. Is very attractive. Most definitely.
Yeah. In the words of our friend Demi Lovato, what's wrong with being confident? Nothing. If you're a villain.
Love those quotes, Demi. Keep them coming.
Yeah. Demi, you do that. So is the villain arc just the hero arc with bad PR?
I think that the villain arc actually has good PR. Because most of the times when you see the villain, they're not hiding. They are out there screaming to the high heavens that they are doing these bad things. And sometimes the good people are hiding and, you know, doing bad things in our society or in a movie or in a cartoon. We always are going to look down on those people. And they're really just trying to survive and get ahead in life. We just
And they say that all PR is good PR.
Yeah. All so PR is good PR.
If we're talking about the Joker fucking shit up in Gotham, so like good. We're talking about the Joker. Or if we're talking about, you know, we have villains in our everyday life, I think, people who are super, super villainized. Like, wait for it. Oh, Scooter Braun. Like, Scooter Braun is like a super villainized name, right? And people think about that and they go, ooh, but people talk about him and it's still... You're in somebody's
Kanye.
Mouth.
Kanye is a villain in our society right now because of the things that he says. But he's not hiding them. He's not saying anything that he's like, he's not apologizing for what he's saying. And then the good people will just kind of like scoot through the sides.
And do you feel like all villains are controversial figures?
I mean, we make them out to be controversial figures. But if we really do look at things... from a lens of there is no such thing as good and bad. It's just reaction and action and wants and ego.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that kind of feels.
Do you have a favorite TV or movie villain?
Let's see. My favorite TV villain. Ooh.
I know. I have to think about this too.
Let's think about it. So when I think of villain, you know, you kind of go to cartoons immediately. Mm-hmm. The TV villains for live action are kind of watered down in a way, right? It's not as blatant as a cartoon character. So the first one I'm going to bring up is going to be the father in Succession. I think he's a villain.
Oh.
He is conniving and triangulating, narcissistic, obviously, and that's definitely villain status.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the cartoon land... I'm going to pick anyone from Powerpuff Girls because I love the Powerpuff Girls.
Ooh, okay. I think that when it comes to one of my favorite villains, I have to say the Penguin.
Yeah, so good.
He was so.
And then
so...
most recent one too.
That's exactly. That's only who I'm talking about.
I mean, Danny DeVito was pretty good too.
Yeah, but Colin Farrell as the Penguin in The Penguin was
delicious.
It was insane.
To me, it's one of his best acting roles.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't recognize him at all. He sunk into that character in such a deep, good way.
Oh my God, he was so good.
Yeah.
And I think that Sean Penn, just period, is always a villain.
Interesting.
Even when he's not playing a villain, he's always a villain.
I think Willem Dafoe is also a great villain when he plays it.
Yeah.
I just saw the Willem Dafoe and Rami and the girl who plays Cruella De Vil.
Emma Stone
movie, and God, he was good.
Oh, Poor Things is
poor
what
things.
You're talking about.
So good.
It's also interesting how villain faces are, you can stereotype the face of a villain. Like, most villains are pointy and angular and
I love that
sharp.
You're saying this like I didn't already say this. Cartoon villains are always really pointy. Ursula was the first rounded villain.
Cool, I reset it. But I was thinking about how Willem Dafoe is often cast as a villain.
Yeah.
And it's because he physically looks like one in his natural form.
Exactly. It goes with how villains look.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see the fashion show where they hired all of the live action villains and they rocked the runway?
No.
So in 2012, Prada did a runway and they hired all of the villains that we love to hate to walk the runway. Willem Dafoe was in it. So many other. I think Adrian Brody was in it as well.
Oh.
But it just goes to show that there is a look, and they wear Prada. And you wear Prada. Do you consider yourself villainous?
You know what they say: the devil wears Prada.
So. Oh, babe.
Okay, babe. We have a little fun segment.
Oh, I love it.
And do I consider myself villainous?
Mm-hmm. Because you're pointy sometimes.
No, I'm actually. I think I'm. I wish I were more pointy.
Really?
I find myself very round.
Oh, baby.
Very Humpty Dumpty-esque, not villainous.
Oh, my God, you're not Humpty Dumpty.
Do you think I'm villain-like?
I think you're shaped like a villain, but I think you're an absolute hummingbird. Like, aww, the cutest little everywhere.
That's kind. That is so kind. Okay, baby, so this is called villain or visionary.
Okay, there we go.
I'm going to list off a bunch of names, and you're going to tell me if the villain is the actual villain in your mind or a visionary.
I love this idea.
Somebody just ahead of their time.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Thanos.
Who the fuck is that?
Thanos, the Greek...
Oh, the guy with all the rings. Okay, he's ahead of his time. Cool. No! He's a villain. I don't know. Maybe he's a villain.
The Joker.
Head of his time.
Really? Explain.
Jim Carrey. Head of his time. Just in general.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Your roommate. I don't have anything to say. He owes his rent.
Think of him as the Joker, though. You think that iteration of the Joker?
I didn't like that movie. I like Jim Carrey as the Joker.
Okay. Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek.
She just is no time. I think Moira isn't ahead of her time or a villain. She is
just a mom struggling.
She's on a different planet.
Okay. Regina George from Mean Girls. Villain.
She's mean.
She's a villain.
She's a villain.
She's not ahead of anything. Sharpay Evans from High School Musical.
I never saw it.
Plankton from SpongeBob.
Oh my God. He's so ahead of his time.
Oh my God. The iceberg from Titanic.
Hilarious!
Villain.
Hilarious! No, ahead of its time. Ahead of its time. You know why? Because it's all melting now.
Just ahead there you of go. Its time. Jafar from Aladdin.
Oh my goodness, villain. So angry.
Those eyebrows, see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So angry.
So pointy.
Yeah, so pointy.
Scar from The Lion King. From El Rey de Leon.
You know what? The Lion King. You know what? I feel bad for Scar. Because all he wanted was a little bit of fame. And everyone just kept pushing him aside. You know what I mean? So he's not a visionary or a villain. He's just scorned. He is traumatized.
Yeah. He was just a very traumatized little cub. And he never was able to heal his inner cub.
At all. So it turned into borderline personality disorder.
But he also had the look.
Yeah. He was great.
Those eyebrows.
Great casting, too, for the voice, for the original.
His
great
claws.
Casting.
So long. Harmony Cobell from Severance.
Wow.
I think she's
ahead of her time.
I don't think she's a villain or a visionary. Okay. I think she's just absolutely batshit.
She's just crazy,
like,
girl.
Period. Yeah, like you're nothing but just a mess. And now you're just like...
I think she's a visionary. I think she has more vision than Lumen. Period.
I mean, yeah, period. For sure. The wizard from Wicked, specifically Jeff Goldblum.
Specifically Jeff Goldblum. Anything Jeff Goldblum does is visionary. He has such great taste in work to me. So I'm going to say he's a visionary. Period. What about you?
Okay, so Jeff Goldblum, the man, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm right there backing you up. Jeff Goldblum playing a character as the wizard in Wicked is a fucking villain. He wants to kill all the animals. And, like, Peter Dinklage as that damn little goat talking who had to then leave, that's so sad. That was so unfair. He deserves to have his voice. And Jeff Goldblum is trying to take his voice. And that is fucked up. He's a villain.
Period. On God.
On principle. On principle, on God. Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada.
She...
My sister from another sister.
I think she's a visionary.
Yeah, she's Anna Wintour.
Yeah, she's a visionary and a villain. She's both. Because when you have that much vision, everybody is stupid in your brain. And no one can do right. So she's a visionary that's just on the other side of the spectrum.
How often do you find that women in power, like a Miranda Priestly, like an Anna Wintour, are demonized or villainized simply because they're strong women in power?
Every day. Every day. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it happens constantly. And I think it's super unfair that women would be labeled that way, whereas a man would just be called a boss.
I do think that times are changing, though. Yeah. No, now. I think that HR and lawyers and all of these lawsuits have changed the culture, or changing, I shouldn't say change because it's not finished, but changing the culture of how a boss can act and how people in power are expected to act now. And this is very recent because we grew up in Hollywood. So, you know, it was only maybe 4 years ago when you could cuss somebody out and no repercussions because you can act any way you want to. But I think that being that we are in a society where men are first, white men are first, and then everyone comes after them, women are kind of lower on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be hard to change that narrative, even though strong women are out here doing their thing. They are out there.
Yeah,
they are 100%. Making moves.
Yeah.
And when you are in power, you're going to ruffle feathers because there's going to be people who want that power. There's going to be choices that you have to make that others can't. And not everybody will understand your vision. So that makes sense. But to label them all of these negative names, mm-hmm. I think that sometimes it becomes loud and boisterous compared to people talking about the men that do that just quietly because they're afraid of the man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not afraid of the women, especially when the men are doing it. They're like, I could have your job, whatever, whatever. I feel like the times are changing slowly the more that women become in power, especially in Hollywood. There's a lot of women that are running networks across the board, and that's really beautiful.
And I was thinking about, as you were speaking, when women villains are portrayed in TV and movies, like, I wonder, are those villains more disliked than male villains? Like Cruella de Vil, Ursula, when we think about those, like, they're universally hated and feared. The story for Cruella is that she wants to kill little puppies.
Mm-hmm.
People love puppies. Like, there's nothing more upsetting to people than the idea of, like, killing a beautiful, cute little thing. And then not only does she want to kill it, she wants to wear it. So I'm wondering if TV and movie female villains are more disliked than the male villains that we see portrayed.
We should poll it.
That would be interesting. I know. It would be an interesting poll. Like, yeah. I'm asking a question that I don't really know an answer to, but I'm filing through my mind of female versus male villains and wondering how they are
portrayed
and what redeemable elements one might have that the other doesn't.
I think it might be a balance. I have no idea. I don't know the poll, but the thing that comes to mind is Monster, the movie with Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a wonderful portrayal of
Eileen,
the female serial killer. You put Eileen up against Charles Manson, who's hated more? Or is it an equal hate? Like, what is that? Or does Dahmer overtake one because he brought in, you know, being gay. Like, what trumps what? That would be interesting to find out.
I think that little kids, anyone who is hurting, whether it's fictionalized or in life, hurting children, it's like you're always the lowest on the totem pole of
that's
hate.
Jail code immediately. Yeah. You hurt women or children, you get shanked, period. Yeah. And anything else is up for the, you know, up for grabs.
Did you learn that during your time there in jail?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How's that experience for you?
I was talking on the bowl the whole time.
I found your shank the other day.
Thank you. I was never in jail. You guys know that.
But
you
she does have a shank.
I do. Do you feel that the equality of parent, mother, father is equal when it comes to like a bad mother and a bad dad?
No, I think that moms are villainized way more than fathers. And mom shame and mom guilt, I think, is way more predominant than it is for fathers. It's a real thing where you'll see other moms being so critical of other moms. Mm. Whereas I don't think that we see that as much when it comes to fathers. And moms will jump in and be like, you shouldn't do this with your kid. You shouldn't do that with your kid. And then it's kind of like a dad can take their kid out for ice cream once. And it's like, oh, he's such a good dad. And you're not recognizing that every day mom is there doing this, doing that. And I think that kids, a lot of the time, I know this is my experience. My mom used to call my dad a Santa Claus dad. Mm. And what she meant by that was he would come in and it was like Chris, like it was so exciting and he'd have a gift and it was fun to be around him. But she was left to do all of the hard shit and the disciplining and the cleaning and the this and the sick days. And I think that's true for a lot of people. What about you?
I think that's true, too. I think it's sad, but true. I think that there is an expectation of women to stay at home and take care of the kids and be the perfect thing. And while the dad is out, quote unquote, making money, this is all from the early 50s. This is all back in when women didn't have rights. And it's really transferred over into our society where we don't have those standards anymore, but we're still living as if we do.
Yeah.
And I also, just to make it a equal playing field, we have some single dads out there that are doing their best to keep a family afloat and they're thriving. I think those people need to get more attention. But when it is a couple and both parents are in the mix, it is for some reason, oh, he's a deadbeat dad, he's going away. And then it's like, you'll talk about him, most definitely. But if that mother does anything wrong, it's like the world is ending. And I do think it's a lot of pressure. It's unfair. And I wonder, other than history and, you know, the trajectory of human society and the roles that have been placed on us, like, why hasn't that left our system yet? Do you think we'll ever understand until we actually have kids?
No. And I think it stems so much more when you really, like, start peeling back the layers. I think that it's way more than just a mother. I really think it comes down to womanhood. And I'm thinking about the Salem witch trials.
Oh my.
And, you know, women have been looked at as either, you know, property for a man to do with what he will, or a machine to make babies, and then a provider to make food and keep you fed and in a clean house. But, or then they've been totally feared
and that's villainized all the way back into Eve and the apple. Just yeah. Villainized.
Yeah. Yeah. And women are scary when they're in their power and they're sexual and they're strong and they're confident, and then people want to bring women down as a result.
I think it's an insecurity in the man.
Yeah,
I think
for
it's
sure.
an insecurity in the man. I think that there is something inside of them that knows if a woman is sitting in her full masculine and full feminine, mm-hmm. that and comfortable with it, mm-hmm. that they would surpass that man because of the depth.
We had this conversation, if you remember, the other day with a few friends of ours, mm-hmm. because we were talking about why we haven't seen more lesbian content
yes.
on TV. And in that conversation, I said, I think the reason why we don't see more of that content is because it would show the world that you don't need a man. That, and if you're showing lesbians in their...
You don't need a man to live and be secure and take care of yourself in this world. You can do it yourself. And you do need a man to make babies. Go sit down.
And if our show, or if a lesbian show were to show... That's a lot of shows. Were to show women coexisting together and getting everything done and thriving, it would be an issue.
It would be an
issue. For a lot of the men at the top who still feel like they have to control
everything.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's very weird. It even goes to cooking, right? For the longest time, the women stay in the kitchen. Women stay in the kitchen. But then when Rockstar Chef started, it was just all men. Now there's just so many men chefs, but I thought women were supposed to be in the kitchen this whole time. But because they turned it into an art, and because they did this and this, oh no, this is a respectable thing now. Back in the day, you couldn't get a man in the kitchen to cook unless it was absolutely necessary. It's really intriguing to me.
And that's why when Anne Burrell was like getting really, really famous, they had to create Guy Fieri.
I'm not mad at that theory, babes. I'm really not mad at that
theory. I mean, it's funny. I was
She started it. She started the spikiness.
She did.
And the hair. Then he came out of nowhere and he surpassed her.
Yeah. With extra spike. Spike just a little bit taller. And maybe even a little bit wider.
Definitely a little bit wider.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I wonder all the one-to-ones.
Emeril and Rachel are the same person. Oh my God, this is a fun game. You have Emeril and Rachel, yes. The same.
Yes.
Anne and Guy, the same. Who is Bobby? Bobby Flay is not Giada.
No.
Oh my God. Bobby Flay is the pioneer woman. Ree Dunham.
Yes.
100%. And then Mario.
Wow.
Mario and Giada are the Italians. They're not really the same.
But yeah, you have to have that. Yeah. But when you look at it, those men will... It's disturbing. It really is. And I don't know when it'll ever change.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll change when a woman president comes into being.
Today, we are toasting to a real-life villain that turned good.
Yeah, villains turning good.
Frank Abagnale Jr.
Abagnale. Let me see. Abagnale. Frank Abagnale Jr.
Back then, he was a teenage con artist who impersonated pilots, doctors, and lawyers, forging checks worth millions.
Oh, wow.
His story inspired Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. After prison, he worked with the FBI for decades to help catch fraudsters and improve security systems.
Reform.
Now a respected consultant and speaker on fraud prevention.
You know, I do believe that villains can have redemption. I feel like you can turn things around. There's a guy that I watch actually on TV sometimes. He was a forger for so long. He forged Picassos and all of these, and now he has a television show.
I mean, that's also where it feels so good to be bad.
Yeah.
You know?
The consequence is you get millions of money, you get millions of dollars, and then show after. Too.
Like, you can be a badass who then gets, like, praised for it in a way.
I think the one thing I want to say from this episode is it's really important to be considerate.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to know if you are the good guy or the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're the good guy or the villain, just be respectful of your surroundings.
Yeah, and wear pointy shades.
I like round shades, so does that make me...
Now you see the not villain.
Yeah, I'm never the villain.
Opposites attract.
Nope. Hey, if you liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe, click, and share, and do all those things so that we can keep bringing you great content. And don't forget to check out Miranda Moments.